Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy our national anthem. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back. More than a minute, only a minute and probably 21 seconds, a minute of 20 or so seconds, such a short song, such an incredible impact. The Star Spangled Banner, ladies and gentlemen, your national anthem, my national anthem. I love that song. It just still stirs a spirit of patriotism and great feelings in me. After all these years, no matter how many times I hear it, and I hope you enjoy it, we're going to play it a couple of times an hour. That's the second time this hour. We'll play it again a couple of times next hour. Happy Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the 4th of July, but we're going to act like it is and talk about some things, continue to talk about some things that are important to Americans and really to the world. In this half hour, it's just you and me. I want to talk a little bit about the origins, what I consider to be the origins of you and me being able to do what we do, you and I being able to do what we do. And I want to go all the way back to somebody named Henry. Henry was the first of many members of the family Plantagenet to be King of England. Henry II, to be specific, claimed the throne of England after his cousin Stephen died in 1154. So why is this important to you and me, small business owners? Well, Henry II is considered to be the founder of a legal system to which I believe entrepreneurs owe our freedom to be. And the world is a better place as a result, in my opinion, of entrepreneurs having such freedom. As ambitious as he was intelligent, Henry II's reasonably successful attempts to consolidate all the British Isles under his rule created the need for order. He had all these, trying to pull Scotland and England and Ireland all together, he needed order. His subsequent governmental and court reforms were intended more for his personal political expediency than to empower his people, but they actually resulted in the emergence of a body of law which replaced some elements of the feudal system, you remember that, that included such enlightened judicial practices as trial by ordeal. Those were gone. Henry's stuff was in. Those were gone. The evolution of this body of law, which came to be known as the English Common Law, which, as you know, our system of laws in America are based on, included the Magna Carta, 1215, the Bail Act, 1444, the Petition of Rights, 1628, the Habeas Corpus Act, you know what that is, 1679, and the Bill of Rights, the English Bill of Rights, 1689, plus many other instruments and declarations which strengthened the rights of individuals and the ownership and enjoyment of property. These are all forerunners, ladies and gentlemen. These are all elemental building blocks for what you and I have here in America. Over five centuries after the death of Henry, the legal and cultural tide of personal freedoms and protection of private property for ordinary people like you and me caused England's youngest Prime Minister, William Pitt, to summarize the concept of individual rights and property under English common law this way. This is the progress that had been made five centuries after Henry II. This is what William Pitt said. I love this language. Listen to this, folks. The poorest, quote, the poorest man may, in his cottage, bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storms may enter, the rain may enter, but the King of England cannot enter. All his forces dare not cross the threshold of this ruined tenement. That's how far personal freedoms had gotten in England in 1700 AD. Those are the building blocks for what you and I have here in America. And we know that there were some people who took that the next step. There's one element in the next step that's a big deal to our founders. We'll come back. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how all that is very important to you and me being able to be small business owners. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Don't you just love this patriotic music? Welcome back, folks. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I love this music. Thank you for allowing me to play some of it. And from the halls of Montezuma, how about that? You know, I was reading this quote a minute ago from William Pitt. And I want to read again. I just love this quote. This is how far by the early 1700s, how far English common law had gotten, and how even with a monarchy, the people in England still had some rights. I want to read this quote again from William Pitt, the youngest Prime Minister of England. The poorest man may, in his cottage, bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storms may enter, the rain may enter, but the King of England cannot enter. All of his forces dare not cross the threshold of this ruined tenement. So by the time Pitt spoke those words in the 18th century, to have been able to say this with impunity in England, let alone actually enjoy such liberty, demonstrated how far the invisible hand effect of Henry II's reforms had progressed. But across the Atlantic, in the colonies, at this moment, there was a word in Pitt's quote that kept sticking in the craws of a certain group of malcontents. And that word was missing from those words. And that word was that they choked on. The words that they choked on was kings. And the missing word was freedom. When he talked about that, when Pitt quoted that, or made that quote, he included the word kings, and our founders couldn't stand that word. And he omitted the word freedom. And that's what they were looking for. In The Fortune of the Republic, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, quote, "We began with freedom. America was opened after the feudal mischief was spent. No inquisitions here, no kings, no nobles, no dominant church," end quote. Just the kind of world those malcontents, America's founders, envisioned and set about creating, sans kings. In Origins of the Bill of Rights, Leonard W. Levy wrote this, quote, "Freedom was mainly a product of New World conditions," end quote. Those conditions, as Thomas Jefferson so ably and famously wrote in the Declaration of Independence, were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, end quote. These were 18th century words, my friends, for freedom, and embryonic conditions for which all the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were, which we celebrate in America this week, right now. All those 56 men put their lives and liberties on the line to give birth to. A decade later, America's Bill of Rights, which became the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution, clearly had its origins in a 100-year-old document with the same name, the English Bill of Rights I mentioned earlier. But the English Bill of Rights was created in a world that perpetuated the divine right of kings. The American document, holding the New World's concept of personal rights and liberty, wasn't perfected to the founder's satisfaction until it perpetuated rights that were, as John Dickinson declared in 1766, 20 years earlier, quote, born with us, exists with us, cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives, end quote. Take that, you kings. 200 years after Dickinson, philosopher, novelist, and prolific defender of capitalism, Ayn Rand wrote this, quote, the most powerful revolutionary achievement of the United States of America was a subordination of society to moral law, end quote. To Rand, moral law is made manifest by individual rights. And even though the seed of the American experiment can be found in English common law, Rand still considered the United States the first moral society in history. In 1999, the Kauffman Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership and Babson College, in concert with other groups, conducted a global study on entrepreneurship. Their findings revealed that there was a direct link between the rate of new business startups and a country's economic growth. The study also revealed that among the many factors that contributed to entrepreneurship, and perhaps the most critical, is a set of social and cultural values, along with appropriate social, economic, and political institutions that legitimize and encourage the pursuit of entrepreneurial opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a word for what I just said: freedom. The more freedom there is, the more entrepreneurship there is. In countries ranking high in the study's analysis, entrepreneurship is an integral part, an accepted feature of economic and personal life. They found that when they studied these countries. Of the 10 industrialized nations studied, the United States, you won't be surprised, was number one. Paul Reynolds, who was the study coordinator, said this, quote, conclusive evidence that promoting entrepreneurship and enhancing the entrepreneurial dynamic of a country should be an integral element of any government's commitment to boosting economic well-being. Freedom, ladies and gentlemen. Entrepreneurs, by definition, take risks. Without the freedom to own and enjoy the fruits of those risks, why take them? Thank you, Henry II. And thank you, founders, because without your vision, courage, passion, and sacrifice, plus all who rallied to your cry to give birth to the new world definition of freedom, it's doubtful that entrepreneurship as we know it would exist. And if capitalism is the economic lever of democracy, entrepreneurship is the force that renews the strength and reliability of that lever for each new generation. I'll take a quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. Happy Independence Day. God bless America, land that I love. Welcome back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I hope you're enjoying the patriotic music. You know, I've been talking about entrepreneurship and freedom and the connection between the origins of our nation and the way things were designed for you and me, and the people on whose shoulders you and I stand as Americans, as we stand as people who run small businesses and found and grow our small businesses. We owe a lot to those founders. We stand on their shoulders, and I hope we never forget that. You know, I love that. I love the quote from The Fortunes of the Republic by Ralph Waldo Emerson. I mentioned a minute ago. The first part of that quote was, "We began with freedom." Isn't that beautiful? We began with freedom, my friends. Freedom to dream and to try. Freedom to succeed and to fail. That's right. We in America, we have the freedom to fail. That's a big deal, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know it. In Europe, they don't have the freedom to fail. You know why? Because if they fail, that's a red mark on their name. Or black mark, I should say, on their name. They carry that with them. I've asked them. I've talked to Europeans in their businesses. And I've said, what happens if you fail? They said, oh, You don't fail over here. If you fail, you're done for. Forever, for the rest of your life. You know, you cannot fail over there. In America, you have the freedom to fail, to learn from that failure. And that's one of the reasons I know this sounds strange to some of you, especially you young pups out there, But freedom to fail is the most important, maybe the most important element of capitalism and entrepreneurship. We have the freedom here in America to own and to enjoy. We have the freedom to accumulate and to pass on to the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, small business owners, my heroes, we began with freedom and entrepreneurship was born. We began with freedom and capitalism was made to flourish. We began with freedom, and in my opinion, the world is a better place for it. 233 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, you know who wrote those words. You know where those words came from. Those are from Abraham Lincoln. Those are the great words of the great one of the great statesmen, the great leaders, the great visionaries, the great man of values, Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, I was talking about failure a minute ago. If you want to see a profile in failure, listen, the world celebrates Abraham Lincoln every day. People around the world invoke his name in with honor and pride. All over the world they do this. And yet, this man is the best example I know of a profile in failure. He failed so many times that most of us wouldn't have kept going after all that. But he did. And then he wound up writing those words that we all can recite over and over again. Abraham Lincoln was he was an amazing man. Here's some words from another great American, Thomas Jefferson, who penned one of the most famous documents, as you heard, as we talked about earlier, the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident," he wrote. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." These are inalienable rights. These are our three. We have the right to life, we have the right to liberty, and we have the right to pursue happiness. We don't have the right to be happy, because I can't make you happy. The government can't make you happy. You can't make me happy. We can only do it ourselves. We can only pursue it. And that's what you have the right to, the pursuit of happiness. I know you've heard these quotes before, and like me, probably have memorized them, but I think they're beautiful. And seeing them, being able to say them over and over again, and say them out loud, really gets my patriotic juices going. It's true there have been lapses in America's delivery of some of the tenets of these passages. To be sure, we've had our share of failures in America. But I like to think that America is still a work in progress. That we are on a journey of understanding that has many stations where new things can be learned. Ladies and gentlemen, freedom is found in other lands, as is freedom to pursue dreams. But no entrepreneurial soil is more fertile than in America, and it's largely because of those who had the spirit to create documents that we've talked about today that include passages that I've quoted today. And ladies and gentlemen, as I leave you this hour, God bless the founders of America and all who helped perpetuate the beacon of liberty that has shone so brightly around the world on this 4th of July holiday, 2009. God bless America. And God bless America's small business owners. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.